There's a hacker in the system. A routine check turns up something strange. An unknown connection reaching out to Japan. A suspicious email lands in the finance department urging a wire transfer overseas. A mid-sized manufacturing company running lean IT operations suddenly realizes it's being watched. What would you do if you were next? Welcome to Beyond the Signal, where we pull back the curtain on cybersecurity mysteries hidden in the digital shadows. Today we sat down with Brad Bellotta from Magnaflux, a company that ensures industrial safety but found itself facing cyber dangers of its own. From social engineering scams to AI-driven threats, we'll uncover the secrets that keep manufacturers up at night and why the mid-market is now a prime target for cyber criminals. Turn the lights down, turn the volume up, let's go beyond the signal. Thank you, Brad, for joining us today. We're really excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the basics. Can you tell us a little bit about Magnaflux and what the company does?
Sure. Magnaflux is a non-destructive testing manufacturer of chemicals, accessories, and equipment. So we tend to work around life safety. So one of the things that you may want to do is put a metal part into something like an engine, an airplane engine, let's say, and you want to make sure that that's going to survive its use case. So you could do some inspections to see if there's any kind of imperfections in the metal. It could be something with a weld. It could be something under the surface that you can't even see. And we have ways that people can utilize our products to test that metal and see if it's safe for use.
Awesome. Also, say that five times fast or one time slow. That's a mouthful. Yep. So what is your role as division IT manager and what does your day-to-day look like?
Sure. Our primary purpose in IT is basically to come alongside the business and be a partner of the business. We really like to work on things that add value to the customers, add value to our products, really drive cost efficiency or a higher level of sales, stuff of that nature. So even though we have responsibility of infrastructure, cybersecurity, and other elements of IT, we really like to concentrate on those items that maybe we work with our CRM or our ERP to help streamline and make processes more efficient or beneficial to the customer.
Awesome. So when it comes to cybersecurity and manufacturing, where do you see the biggest differences compared to other industries like healthcare or education?
Sure. I would say from my experience, manufacturing has been well behind a lot of other industries out there, even globally. IT, again, was kind of seen as a cost to the business. So cybersecurity is a very expensive part of IT, so it was usually lagging and kind of sometimes out of the bounds and too costly to implement. However, what we've seen is by driving better infrastructure, by having better practices, and observing our cybersecurity hygiene, we're driving more uptime. We're driving, making sure that our customers don't get affected by outages and other things that happen. So, and let's be frank, manufacturing is adopting a lot of AI, machine learning, automation, things of that nature that are driven by IT. So IT is just becoming more ingrained in those everyday processes.
Manufacturing is no stranger to cyber threats, but it's often seen as a lower priority industry for cyber criminals compared to finance or healthcare. Do you think that's a misconception? And if you do, why?
Yeah, I do think it's a misconception. I think in the early days, that was right on, actually. I think the banking institutions and in direct financial gains that hackers could quickly gain access to were the prime targets, right? It was a quick win. They could get money very quickly. I think what they've learned is that by attacking anything from healthcare to manufacturing, you're underpinning that infrastructure that the whole economy relies on. If there are no sales of products, if you can't supply gas through pipelines, it shuts down the economy and actually has a greater pressure and a greater effect than some missing dollars.
Yeah, and I know you guys are a subsidiary of IDW. So you guys specifically, Magnaflux falls into the mid-market. What are the biggest cybersecurity pain points that you and your team face in that role?
It's really around the time to execute. We have the tools. Our corporate provides us some tools of cybersecurity. We have some of our own tools, and it's really about that headspace to where we can jump in and actually spend time driving through vulnerabilities, replacing equipment that's outdated, stuff of that nature. So it's really about the time, and that was hard for us to solve.
Can you share any real-world examples of security incidents or near misses that shaped the way that you took your approach to cybersecurity?
Certainly. We had our own near miss. There was an instance where one of our employees actually had this is many years ago now, but I think it was before the pandemic, but we did have a user give up their email credentials, and a hacker or bad actor had actually sent an email internally to our accounting department looking to send some money overseas. So we caught that due to our good hygiene and training practices. The accounting department saw that right away, asked some questions. We opened up tickets. We started figuring out what happened and ultimately quickly cleaned out and changed passwords. And we were able to reassess to make sure that no critical data was lost. But without those critical training moments, I think your end users, who are that last stop before something major happens, all of the passwords and MFAs and everything that you have in place, it doesn't matter if the users are not trained very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know human error is one of the major causes of breaches nowadays. So many mid-market manufacturers operate on tight budgets and with really lean IT teams. How do you balance your security needs with the limited resources that you have?
Sure. And since we're part of a great organization that is very lean, because ultimately Magnaflux is a very mature company within ITW. So we've gotten great processes. We've leaned everything down. So it's very hard to add people when you have lean expectations. So we leverage outside companies, for example, Gradient Cyber, and we were able to outsource part of our IT cybersecurity strategy so that we don't have to be looking at our computer screens 24/7 to make sure that we catch everything that happens. So reality is we have a smaller team. Even though we have grown over time, it has been critical to have a partner that is watching and observing at all times so that we can be safe and catch things before they get worse.
What is your philosophy on cybersecurity? Are you more proactive, reactive, or somewhere in between?
Well, to be frank, when I started a little over 9 years ago, I would say it was definitely reactive. It was we had very little IT resources at the time, and the greater need was very big, almost overwhelming. And it was like, well, we'll go ahead and do a little here, we'll do a little there. And to be quite frank, it keeps you up at night, you know. Over time, though, as we caught up on some of the infrastructure needs and some of the emergencies, and we started thinking through what is important, where is that next layer going to go, we started to really develop an IT strategy. Of course, our corporate has a framework that they implement across all the divisions and really gain sponsorship internally. So we definitely spent a lot of time there. But starting to find the partners and the solutions that were right-sized for our mid-market profile was critical for us.
What is your approach to threat detection and response? How are you guys currently identifying, mitigating, and learning from potential threats?
I would say it's kind of a multi-pronged approach here. We are leveraging our IT resources at our corporate headquarters, really utilizing those tools to stay ahead of it. So before it becomes a threat, we're remediating any vulnerabilities. So definitely utilizing those tools to be proactive. However, on a reactive side of things, we are utilizing our tools and strengthening the suggestions that Gradient has provided us. We do monthly check-in calls. We go through all of the potential risks. We go through anything that pops up. Like, here's a simple example. Why are our servers reaching out to Japan for time? Like, we found that. And that sounds like a really simple example, kind of silly in some cases, but we didn't set the servers to do that. So we had to go in and troubleshoot why. You know, and it ended up being some software that we had put on there that just needed to be configured in the right way. So luckily we didn't have any kind of thing, but I would never see that without having someone that has my back looking out for me.
Small things like that can really become bigger things in the future, even though it looks like it's nothing. It ends up being something huge. Leading into my next question, there's a lot of talk about shifting left in security, detecting and responding earlier in the kill chain. What does that look like in your environment?
So we obviously are utilizing Gradient Cyber here for staying ahead of the thing. That is a very difficult question to answer for several reasons. One, we're a very small company, so our bandwidth or our surface attack area is pretty small. So leveraging the knowledge that Gradient Cyber has with all of its other clients, and that they're using the crowdsourcing methodology, they're putting blocks in place ahead of time, right? They're going into our firewall, they're blocking things and being proactive. Like, here's a simple example. There was a high alert on something, so I'm assuming maybe another client may have seen some activities, and we got contacted by Gradient, and they said, hey, there's some activity coming out of Kenya. We need to get a block in place. We got the block in place, approved it, and went forward. We have no reason to be doing business in Kenya. We're the North America location for what we do, so there was no reason to not block it. That's a simple example, but ultimately, we also have to stay top of mind. See what's going on in the industry, what's going on in the news. And if something pops up, some new cybersecurity vulnerability, maybe it's our Cisco firewall. Hey, does that apply? Is this spreading like wildfire all over the US? And does that apply to our model? Does that apply to XYZ, whatever it may be? So some of it is still reactionary because we can't keep up with everything all the time. But by leveraging that crowdsourcing, I think we kind of gain an advantage of being proactive.
Shifting kind of into talking about the lessons that you've learned and I guess some advice for other manufacturing companies, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that manufacturing companies have about cybersecurity?
Well, I would say it starts with the belief that you can make a difference. Everything you do can make a difference. Even the littlest step towards cybersecurity, even taking care of one vulnerability can be all of the difference. I think it is overwhelming and you don't know where to start. So I think it's critical to gain visibility in two areas. One, knowing what your systems have installed and what is the current patch level, so vulnerability management. And if you gain that visibility, you're already a leg up because you can look at what's been ranked highest and you could just start attacking it, especially if it's on every single computer. You can go apply those patches really quickly across a broad set of computers and make a huge difference right off the bat. And the second is really having that 24/7 visibility. And again, hate to go back to keep talking, you know, about the benefits that we receive with Gradient, but it truly is, look, I don't have 24 hours a day to be watching screens and every system out there. We have a job to do. We have customers to serve. We have more efficiencies to gain. And that's where the really real value of IT is. But you're not going to have any of that unless you have a stable, secure environment. And ultimately, that's why we have a partnership with Gradient.
So I was going to ask, are there any cybersecurity frameworks, best practices, or tools that you'd recommend for manufacturers? But I feel like we may have covered that one in this one. Are there anything that you want to add as far as frameworks or tools or best practices that have really helped support your cybersecurity strategy?
Sure. Unfortunately, I can't get into the ones that our corporate uses due to some proprietary information. However, I think most of that has been developed by utilizing existing frameworks out there. Things like NIST, right? Very big, very expansive, very deep. You, of course, can lose months and years of time going down into every element and making sure everything is tied down. Ultimately, if you don't want a cybersecurity breach, unplug all your computers and leave them off. But in true reality form, what I would suggest is take a framework, and we use this 80-20 philosophy, so the Pareto principle. Take a look at what is most important to your business and what your critical layers are. Do you have enough layers in place? Do you have that framework that you're headed towards? Looking at several key elements, what happens if you get hacked? Do you have a proper backup in place? Can you restore that backup without being affected by the hacker? So, you know, is there a air gap in there? Those are the first couple things I would look at, and then start driving into remediating, securing, visibility. Those are the main areas I would recommend. And any of these frameworks that you find out there, they will have those elements. So grab one, look at the 80-20 philosophy, get the 80 out of it, which is basically saying, this is the majority of our use cases. I'm not going to worry about some far-fetched thing where someone hacks into a printer and a printer jumps to a server and that jumps to a computer and that jumps to an iPhone. I mean, come on. What is the likelihood of something to happen? What is the highest risk? Or most vulnerable, right? So I would suggest looking at it from that standpoint and just taking a bite off every year.
Cyber threats are consistently evolving. We are constantly hearing every single day on the news that something else has happened, or now with the advent and extremely fast growth of AI and new AI players coming in, there's a lot of things that you could be focused on and a lot of things that could be a big concern as far as your security posture. What's the thing that's keeping you up at night when you think about the future of cybersecurity for manufacturing? If anything keeps you up at night. Hopefully you're not up all night, but...
Yeah, I would say it's really... I mean, I hate to be cliche here with the whole AI... I think we don't really know the impact AI is going to have. We all have a vision of it everywhere from everything's really great and everyone's got five robots doing stuff for them all the time, the Jetsons, per se, kind of, you know, thought, and then all the way through Terminator, right? You know, the robots are coming after us and they're not going to allow anything to happen. I think we have to temper both of those expectations. I think technology is great. I think cybersecurity is going to be the hinge. It's going to be whether the door opens up and allows technology or whether it shuts. I think if you just take a balanced approach and also assess what you have. If you're dealing with healthcare information, certainly you've got to have much higher levels of cybersecurity in place, and you've got to be managing it for many different types of data and where it should be stored. So I think, again, reassess what you're dealing with, you know, understand it, and then start to piece together what's the most important aspects of it. So I don't think sleeping at night is too hard, but at the same time, there are some known unknowns out there, and we certainly can spin off very quick on bad scenarios.
Absolutely, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's a person at the end of it. We've had these conversations before where, you know, cybersecurity, regardless of the industry you're in, somebody is at risk. It's not always just a financial impact, but it's people's lives can be at stake. So if you could give one piece of advice to IT leaders and manufacturing companies who are struggling to improve their security posture, what would it be?
I would jump in and do an assessment. First, look at what you have. Are you using it effectively? Is it secure? What are the best practices of it? Have you reviewed your solutions regularly to make sure that those items are being managed and implemented properly? I think first off, you need to be secure in what you're doing. But second, I would say get visibility in very quick. That's one of the things I did before we even finished deploying and utilizing all of our corporate's systems that they even paid for, so it's free. I wanted the security of knowing that someone was watching our network 24/7. And there was a lot of cross-correlation going on so that newer technology was being utilized to catch those threats, right? And informing us. If you don't know what's out there, you can't even begin to solve the problem. So that's where I would start.
Great. Brad, this has been a fantastic conversation. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you or about Magnaflux?
You could look me up on LinkedIn and we'll put it right down there, and definitely give us a like. And we would love to talk more cybersecurity and other great benefits of serving our customers.
Awesome. We need to get you a YouTube channel. That was a good like, subscribe, hit the follow button.
There you go. So, I always like to smile and make some joy around these kind of events, because ultimately the more we share, the more secure we get around the world.
I think one of the things that, and it's another thing that we've discussed too, is that a lot of the time people don't think about speaking about or to IT people in the back, because they're the people behind the scenes making all the gears turn, but they don't think that there may be other people in the same types of roles that are struggling to figure out where is a starting point, or that there are other people who can give advice and who are looking for advice. So I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and I hopefully will have you back on soon.
Yeah, sounds great. And I greatly appreciate spending the time, and happy to help anyone out there that's looking for some more information.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks.
Cyber threats never sleep. And in the world of manufacturing, every unnoticed vulnerability can become a ticking time bomb. Brad Bellotta and his team at Magnaflux took action before it was too late, leaning on Gradient Cyber's expertise to gain real-time visibility and proactive threat events.
But what about your organization? Are you just hoping for the best, or are you prepared for the worst? If this episode has you thinking twice about your security strategy, it's time to act. Follow us, subscribe, and keep tuning in to Beyond the Signal for more true cyber mysteries, industry insights, and expert strategies. And remember, sometimes the biggest threats aren't the ones making the most noise. Until next time, stay vigilant, stay protected, stay beyond the signal.